Sincerely happy 250th Independence Day. You know, yesterday was probably the most significant 4th of July most of us will experience in all of our lives. My father came as an immigrant to the United States back in 1952. He went back and forth a couple of times and dragged his family with him. But what was really clear is that my father was smitten on the American dream. The opportunity of material success and the promise of liberty and justice for all was very clear for my dad. And that's why he made this place his home. So on this 250th anniversary, would you pray with me for our country and for God's grace? Dear Lord, on this nation's 250th birthday, we thank you for our country. We thank you for the liberty and justice which we are meant to ascribe to. May it be our trademark for 250 more years if you tarry. And Lord, though our sins may be many, please give us the grace to seek justice and mercy and to always be a nation that pursues the moral high ground, both here at home and around the world. Lord, thank you for the freedoms that we have both as citizens of your kingdom and citizens of this nation. May we consistently exercise our freedoms to worship you openly, to bring kindness and dignity to the disadvantaged and the marginalized, to seek wisdom and discernment as we vote and select our leaders, and to try and bless and benefit our community and our society however we can. Lord, we pray for our nation and for our leaders. We pray for your forgiveness where we have fallen short. We pray for your protection against those who would seek to harm and destroy us. And we pray for your peace throughout our land, that as Christ followers, we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. And this we pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Happy 4th, you guys. I want you to hear the word of the Lord from Isaiah 26. He says, listen carefully. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal. You will keep in perfect peace. Okay, you heard that with your ears. I'm going to read it again, and I want you to hear it with your heart. You ready? You will keep in perfect peace the one whose mind is steadfast, because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal. You will keep in perfect peace. Perfect peace, what we all want. It's what we all need. It's what we all lack. Here's how I know that. Watch this video. That's our present sermon series, Chosen by You. And that's what you chose for today. That got a really high vote. Overwhelm. That's quite a word, isn't it? It's a drowning word. Years ago, Sue used to, when she had too much coming at her in a humorous way, she would quote the Wicked Witch of the West, and she'd say, "I'm melting." That's the words of overwhelm. Did you know that whelm is a word? It is. I looked it up. Whelm. It literally means to submerge, to be whelmed. It's one wave after the other coming at you again and again. To be whelmed. Did you know if body surfing was an Olympic sport, I would have many gold medals? I'm really good. So some years ago, Sue and I were with some friends vacationing at Hilton Head Island. And my friend Bob was watching me. Actually, I taught his son how to body surf. And so he was watching me body surf. And he had just bought this wonderful, beautiful, the latest model of a GoPro. You know what a GoPro is? That's the camera that you wear. And you maybe they don't have them anymore. Maybe I'm dating myself. They still do. Okay, thanks, Doug. So you wear this camera on your forehead, and you're going, and you're the pro watching everything. He said, "Paul, I got a great idea. Put the GoPro on your head and then ride the biggest wave, and we'll get to see all kinds of things underwater and all awesome." So I got the GoPro on. I go way out into the ocean. Here comes the hugest of waves, and then another one. So I dive in. It takes me all, it's beating me up. It takes me all the way to the shore. Awesome. I can't wait to see what the GoPro looks like. I get up. There's no GoPro. It's a gone pro. It's way gone. We never found it. The waves whelmed me, and the loss of the GoPro whelmed Bob in about $800 too. Whelmed. Figuratively, it just means to be inundated by life. It's you have a glass of water and it's filled to the very top. And there's overwhelmed. Well, there's underwhelmed, right? That's when you're really unimpressed. You sent me to a restaurant the other night, and I was totally underwhelmed. You watching the World Cup soccer? The Italian team was so underwhelming, they didn't even make it there again. But we still have overwhelm. You have whelm, and now you have overwhelm. Uberwhelm. Wow. Overwhelm is when your glass is filled to the top, the very brim with water, and then I pour more in. That's overwhelm. And you chose that as this theme today. Overwhelm. When you're dealt too much stuff, and you have insufficient resources to deal with it all. I was among the top of what you voted for in this series. Of course you did. Because that's life. Thinking about our lives, thinking about all of our glasses of water, thinking about all of your prayer cards that you turn in every week. Thinking about all the stories that I hear. Of course, it made this list. Life at times can be very overwhelming. I'm looking at you. Cancer. job loss, elderly parents, miscarriages, unexpected major expense, prodigal children, loss of a spouse, messed up marriages. Can I pour just a little bit more water in your drinking glass that's already filled to the very top? Overwhelm. And then what I just read, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Overwhelm. Several passages of scripture came to the forefront of my mind as I scrolled through the Rolodex in my head for this theme. Rolodex? We don't have Rolodexes anymore. Yeah, 20 years ago we did, though, so it's legit. What passages could connect to the overwhelm theme? Well, certainly our gospel reading today, right? You heard David read about Jesus asleep at the bottom of the boat and the disciples overwhelmed because of the storm at sea. And it's like, wow, don't you care that we're going to drown? And it's like, don't you trust his plan? He said we're going to the other side. And Jesus kindly saying aloud that any spiritually overwhelmed person could hear, he would say, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and dare I say, overwhelmed, and I will give you rest. Let those words soak in just for a minute. And I will give you rest if you come to me who are overwhelmed. Breathe them in. Now breathe out. Do this with me. Open up your hands. Just do this. Release what is ever overwhelming. Release it to the Lord. Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden. My burden is ease. He'll take it when I give it. I settled on this delightful passage of hope from Isaiah chapter 26. It's actually part of a beautiful song in Isaiah 26. It's a song about God's trustworthiness and God's rescue. The passage we're going to look at, it's really Isaiah 26, 1 through 8, sort of, is nestled right in the book of Isaiah, which some people call the fifth gospel, because it's, even though it's in the Old Testament, it's so abundant in its description of the Messiah and his sacrifice for our sins and his salvation. That's Isaiah. And then Isaiah 26 is right in the middle of four chapters that are often referred to as Isaiah's apocalypse. Because when you read these four chapters, they sound a lot like the book of Revelation. They're filled with judgment, and they're filled with blessing, even heavenly blessing. The people of Israel and Judah were about to be overwhelmed. They were being overwhelmed because they were living in very threatening times, and from enemies, an invasion and an exile was imminent. And in these four chapters, God gives them a glimpse of the future. A future that includes global judgment, but also divine blessing and grace. We're going to be in Isaiah 26. Isaiah 24 is God's judgment on the wicked. Isaiah 25 describes this heavenly banquet for everybody that trusts it. Isaiah 27 is an amazing description of God's future blessings for his own. And then comes Isaiah 26. And Isaiah 26, the passage we're going to look at, describes the peace that we can have in the meantime. In our overwhelming times, there is still a peace to be had. So let's go. Let's reflect on the promise of perfect peace from this psalm. Let's think properly about it. I want you to hear the fuller passage, which is going to be Isaiah 26, 1 through 8. It's going to describe this perfect peace. And from it, we'll learn two things: a perspective that calls for patience. If we're going to know peace in overwhelming times, we need a perspective that calls for patience. And then we will also learn from this passage a promise that calls for trust. A perspective that calls for patience and a promise that calls for trust. Okay, let me read it to you and then we'll walk through it a little bit. Isaiah 26, verse 1 says this: In that day, the song will be sung. This is, I told you it was part of a song in the land of Judah. In that day, we're going to sing, "We have a strong city. God makes salvation its walls and ramparts. Open the gates, and the righteous nation may enter, the nation that keeps faith." In that day, there'll be this great song of security for this great heavenly city, and all the faithful will be there. In that day, we'll sing this song. Now, verse 3, in the meantime, here's what we know. "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord is the rock eternal. He humbles those who dwell on high. He lays the lofty city low. He levels it to the ground and casts it down in the dust. Feet trample it down, the feet of the oppressed and the feet of the poor. The path of the righteous is level. O upright one, you make the way of the righteous smooth. Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and renown are the desires of our hearts. We wait for you." So let's begin with the perspective. The whole passage begins with, "In that day." In that day, this song will be sung. The proper perspective when we're living in overwhelming days is to be reminded that there is a that day, is to have our hearts opened to a that day. You've heard it many times said. Martin Luther used to talk about there are just 2 days on his calendar, this day and that day. And we live in this day, but there is a that day. In that day, this song will be sung. In that day. What is that day? It's when God rights all wrongs. It's when God judges the nations. It's when all brokenness is fixed. There will be a day. Let me just, in this is a recurring phrase in these four chapters. I just want to read them to you. You can write them down and look them up if you like. Chapter 24 and verse 21 says, "In that day, the Lord will punish the powers in the heaven above and the kings on the earth below." In chapter 25 and verse 9, he writes, "In that day, they will say, 'Surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us.'" In what day? Well, go back to verse 8. "The Lord will swallow up death forever." Doesn't that sound like Revelation? "The sovereign Lord will wipe away all the tears from all the faces in that day." And then we read in our passage, "In that day, this song will be sung." And then in 27, chapter 27 and verse 1, it says, "In that day, the Lord will punish with his sword, his fierce, great, and powerful sword." And then again in verse 2, "In that day, sing about a fruitful vineyard. I, the Lord, watch over it. I water it continually. I guard it day and night so that no one may harm it." And then finally in 27 verse 12, it says, "In that day, the Lord will thresh from the flowing Euphrates to the Wadi of Egypt, and you, O Israelites, will be gathered up one by one. And in that day, a great trumpet will sound. Those who were perishing in Assyria, those who were exiled in Egypt, will come and worship the Lord on the holy mountain in Jerusalem on that day." How do we deal when we're overwhelmed? It starts with a perspective that there will be a day. And I get it. You say, "Oh, man, that's so far away. Oh, wow. Come on." Right? Aren't we all there sometimes? Verse 7 from our passage says, "Yes, Lord, we will walk in the ways of your laws. We wait for you." It is a perspective that calls for patience, that calls for waiting. I thought it was interesting. This is one of the 20-year-old songs we just sang today. "Strength will rise if we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. When I'm overwhelmed, man, do I lack strength. Strength will rise." It's from the Psalms, I believe. One of the songs we do sing nowadays, not 20 years ago, "I will wait for you." Remember that? "I will wait for you. I will wait for you. Through the storm and through the night, I will wait for you. I will wait for you. For your love is my delight. I will wait for you. On your word, I will rely." What do we need when we're overwhelmed? We need perspective that this day isn't all there is, that there is of that day. It's a perspective, though, that requires patience, that we have to wait for. Who are you waiting for? Who are you waiting to see again? Here's what is clear. That day is sure. "I will wait for you. On your word, I will rely." He describes that day, that day. I was in Cincinnati this weekend. Sue and I were celebrating the 4th with our kids. Played tennis yesterday morning. I melted into the court. They had to pour me home. So the Guardians beat the White Sox on Friday night. They were losing most of the game. It wasn't on our Cincinnati television. But I was watching it on my phone, and they just weren't going to win. And then I got a text from my brother. They pulled it out. Brian Rocchio with a home run in the bottom of the ninth, two outs, pulled it out. Joe McLaughlin, one of our elders, sends me the video of the home run. So I put it up on my iPad and I watched it. Now there's the score and there's still the tension. The Guardians are down 3-2, two outs, bottom of the ninth. So I'm watching this with a little bit of tension, like, oh, there's two outs, man. We're down a run. We're going to be two games back in about 2 seconds. But I also knew what was going to happen. So the tension was mixed with sure hope. And sure enough, here comes the pitch. And Hammy's call, a swing and a drive, and it goes all the way to the foul pole. And they won. And in a sense, that's what that day is. To be so confident that that day is a reality, as confident as knowing Rocchio's going to hit that home run. We've got that day. Because I will wait for you on your word. I will rely. That's why Jesus said to the disciples in the boat when the storm came, why are you still without faith? Why is he chiding them in the midst of a storm? Because as they were getting in the boat, his word was really clear. He said to them, we're going to the other side. He didn't say it was going to be a wonderful 4th of July ride on the lake as even as can be. He never promised that. He just promised we're going to the other side. And he promises us that there will be that day, that day. God gives us a sure glimpse of that day. And here's what else. And he gives us grace enough to stand this day. This day. What's overwhelming you today? You got a perspective of that day. And I promise you, he will give you grace for this day. He'll give you more grace tomorrow when you need it, but you need some right now. And that's what he promises. That's the perspective that calls for patience. Okay, I get it. But in this overwhelming day, in this season of drowning, how do I get there? How do I get my heart and my mind there? When I'm overwhelmed, when I'm confused, when I'm angry. Or as someone said to me recently, whose life was just upside down, wanting to shake her fist at God, and he can handle it, by the way. She wanted to say, I didn't sign up for this. I get it. We have a perspective that calls for patience, but we have a promise that calls for trust. And there it is. You will keep in perfect peace. Actually, literally, it's peace, peace. It's a figure of speech. Very prominent in the Bible. Jesus says, verily, verily, or truly, truly. It's repetitive for emphasis, right? We'd still do it today. If you're a realtor, what do we say about that house? It's all about location, 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 right? Or if you're Winston Churchill, what do you say? Never give up, remember? Never. But you can't pronounce the last R. Never, never, never. You will keep in peace, peace. And the beautiful word is shalom. Shalom. And this peace is more than just the absence of trouble or the absence of conflict. This shalom is the presence of wholeness, of harmony. It's the presence of God Himself. It is God's plan. It is God's goal for all of us. You know the word shalom really well. I end most services with Aaron's blessing, right? The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord give his grace to you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and give you his peace. That's his plan for you and for all his creation. And you say, yeah, but that's just ceremonial talk, right? I mean, it has nothing to do with reality when you pray that at the end. Oh, it does. God has a goal. God has a plan, and he's established a path of shalom that I just want to show you. When God created, everything was in perfect shalom. Everything. Our first parents, total shalom. Shalom this way with God. Shalom this way relationship. Shalom in the cosmos, in all creation. Total shalom. Harmony. Everywhere. And then, like dropping a crystal wine goblet on marble, the shalom shatters in a million pieces by the sin and selfishness of our first parents. And like a deadly virus, it spread. It spread. The iniquity and the rebellion spread. So they're banished from the presence of God. This human relationship completely messed up and has been for thousands and thousands of years. And all of creation, no shalom, which is why it's been 8,000 degrees here, why there are tornadoes and hurricanes. All of creation is groaning until the day of redemption. Sin and selfish shatters the shalom, and the sharp pieces of glass are like the dire consequences and the divine judgment. God will judge sin. God will judge his people. And the curse of shalom is universal. But the path of shalom continues on. So the Prince of Shalom, remember Isaiah? The Prince of Peace, he shows up. Christ the Messiah shows up. He is the one that creates everything, and he is the creator of all shalom. And he comes and he bears the judgment for all our rebellion and all of our shattering of the peace. He dies on a cross to cancel the curse of the breaking of shalom. He announces his kingdom of peace, and he announces the rescue of this broken world. Yeah, I know, but I'm still overwhelmed. I know. I will wait for you. I will wait for you. And so you have number four. We are living in the meantime between Christ's first and second coming. First coming, cross. And he died for the curse of sin. But we're still living in this day between the first and second and all of the overwhelming effects. So go back to the promise of peace, which calls for trust. I want you to look at the effect of the promise. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast. The effect of that peace is a fixed mind, firmly focused mind. When life is overwhelming, you're not scattered. You're not worried, overly worried. You're not overly anxious. You're not frantically fretting about the unforeseen future, about the unanswered questions. You trust. The mind that's fixed on you. But that promise of peace, notice what it calls for. Because they trust in you. So I ask you, overwhelmed one, do you trust in a good and sovereign God? Do you trust in the Lord the rock eternal. You trust in the one who will one day make everything right. You say, yeah, I believe in God. Yeah, but do you trust him? Do you trust his son, who in the midst of a storm in a boat could look at the waves and say, peace and be still, who at his last supper before he was crucified could say, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Who after he rose from the dead said again and again, peace I leave with you. Do you trust in God? In this overwhelming day, until that day, here's his words to you. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Do it today, no matter how overwhelmed you are. Do it today. And each day until that day. Let's pray together, please. Father, I pray for every one of us in this room right now. And I know that for many of us, the water in our glasses are spilling over and over beyond our ability to cope. We don't feel like we have the sufficient means with which to deal with what is overwhelming us. And so I pray for my friends, even today. And I pray that reflecting on your character and even the words of Isaiah, we would gain a perspective that there is a day, one day, where you will right every wrong. Give us the patience to wait for you. And Father, we thank you for the promise of peace as we wait and as we trust. May our minds be fixed steadfast on you. Father, thank you for shalom, which is not just the absence of conflict, but it's the presence of you in our lives. Thank you that you are present individually, but even corporately together. Use us, please, to be agents of your peace to each other and to a world that at times is overwhelmed. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.